Hello and welcome to the weekly news review from Bloomberg New Energy Finance. I'm Angus McCrone, Chief Editor. This week I'll be looking at how the Rio Plus 20 conference in Brazil provided slim pickings for clean energy. Shares in quoted clean energy companies slipped around 3% between the close in New York last Tuesday and the middle of Monday's trading session, a suitably damp reaction to last week's Rio Plus 20 United Nations Conference on Sustainable Development. To be fair, the gathering, 20 years after the Earth Summit of 1992 in Rio de Janeiro, was not expected to do much directly for investment in clean energy, still less for sector stock prices. However, there had been hopes that the conference's focus on the green economy would help to revive politicians' interest in combining the goals of economic recovery and the low-carbon transition. In the event, the most constructive moves of last week took place on the fringes of Rio Plus 20 rather than in the main communique agreed by all countries. There was a commitment by the US government to provide grants, loans and loan guarantees of $2 billion to the Sustainable Energy for All initiative launched by UN Secretary-General Ban Ki-moon last September, and the eight largest multilateral development banks announced that they will invest $175 billion in sustainable transportation systems over the coming decade. The pledge was made by the Asian Development Bank, the World Bank, the Latin American and African Development Banks, and four other MDBs. The Rio Plus 20 event faced significant handicaps in the way of making progress. One of the organizers' own making was vagueness. The concept of the green economy was left woolly and not narrowed down to something achievable. And the timing, at a low point in the economic fortunes of the West and a moment of difficulty even for the likes of India, Brazil and China, was far from ideal. The 20 to 22nd June conference ended with an outcome document entitled The Future We Want. Of 53 pages and 283 paragraphs, it attempted to address a vast list of topics ranging from poverty eradication to empowering rural women, disaster risk reduction to sustainable tourism. Unfortunately, the wording was ponderous and bereft of concrete commitments from the 180 countries taking part. An example was point 12 in the opening Common Vision section. It said, "We resolve to take urgent action to achieve sustainable development. We therefore renew our commitment to sustainable development, assessing the progress to date and the remaining gaps in the implementation of the outcomes of the major summits on sustainable development and addressing new and emerging challenges. We express our determination to address the themes of the United Nations Conference on Sustainable Development, namely a green economy in the context of sustainable development and poverty eradication, and the institutional framework for sustainable development." Even in the area of fossil fuel subsidies, which the International Energy Agency estimates will exceed $600 billion in 2012, the wording left countries with plenty of room to continue much as before. The outcome document said that countries reaffirm the commitments they have made to phase out harmful and inefficient fossil fuel subsidies that encourage wasteful consumption and undermine sustainable development. We invite others to consider rationalizing inefficient fossil fuel subsidies. There were a few interesting ideas, including a UK proposal to require companies quoted on the London Stock Exchange to detail their greenhouse gas emissions in annual reports, and a document signed by 50 countries and 86 large corporations supporting natural capital accounting. The latter includes the value of natural assets as well as conventional GDP. Reaction to Rio Plus 20 from some policymakers themselves was tepid. French President François Hollande, for instance, talking of disappointment. Environmental lobby groups were more outspoken, Greenpeace describing the meeting as a failure of epic proportions, and Friends of the Earth saying that it strongly condemns world leaders for selling out people and the planet in their Rio Plus 20 declaration. Investors will take a less emotional view. Expectations were very low that Rio Plus 20 would do anything to spur on the low-carbon transition, so the result came as no surprise to them. Instead, many will have spent the week thinking about the continuing tension between fading subsidies for renewable power on the one hand, and on the other falling costs, which are enabling companies to build capacity nonetheless. Last week, US developer NextEra Energy emerged as the highest bidder for the 1 gigawatt Blythe solar project in California in an auction taking place for the assets of the bankrupt company Solar Trust of America. In Uruguay, meanwhile, the government said it planned to increase its target for wind capacity on the grid at the end of 2015 from the previously stated 800 megawatts to 1 gigawatt. The South American country only has 40 megawatts online now. And in Spain, Solaria Energía Medio Ambiente said it is planning a 150-megawatt PV project near Toledo to be built in the second half of 2013. It could be the first large Spanish solar project to be built without the provision of any power price subsidies, and its developer hopes to do it at a rock-bottom cost of just 1 million euros per megawatt. This has been the weekly news review from Bloomberg New Energy Finance. I'm Angus McCrone, Chief Editor. If you'd like to find out more about investment in clean energy, carbon markets, water or power, please visit our website, www.bnef.com. I hope you can join us again next week.